Okay, everybody, turn, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. When you find it, please stand in honor of God's Word. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 61. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 61. We'll start reading in verse 57. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds have their birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this passage. And dear Heavenly Father, like so many verses in Scripture, there's so much that we can learn. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you've given us the Bible as an instruction book. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to apply this truth to our heart. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you just take full control of the service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here's the thing is, we're going to focus a lot on verse 62. A lot of people these days think that this verse basically says that this person cannot be saved. This verse is not saying that at all. It's basically saying that this person is not fit for the kingdom of God. Let me illustrate a little bit. My wife and I and three kids, we lived in New Jersey for a while. And when we were getting ready to move to New Jersey, everybody said, "Listen, don't go to New Jersey. It's the armpit of America. We're pretty sure that it's where the devil lives." And the thing about it is that we felt like God was calling us to New Jersey, and I believe that it was a training ground for us to come here. But the thing about it is what we found very quickly was we did not fit in. And I remember we lived about in good traffic, about an hour to a little over an hour away from the church at the campground. And I'll never forget the first time we were heading to church. We were driving along the interstate heading north, and the interstate merged into one lane and then kind of went around a corner. And what happened is there was two cars in front of us. One didn't want to let the other car in, and so they actually started bumping. And, I mean, their mirrors were hanging down. It was crazy. And the next week, we were up traveling to church. And we were driving along, and this is a six-lane highway, one side. And one guy passed his exit, stopped, threw it in reverse. Everybody's swerving and honking, and threw it in reverse, backed up, and then took his ramp. And I tell you what, there was some other stuff that was a big deal breaker to us. Over there, there's no such thing as pop. And to them, a pop is a lollipop. You know, over there it's soda, and they're backwards. And bless God, in God's country it's pop. You know, it's good preaching right there. And there's just a lot of small stuff. A friend of mine, Bill Bass, he's come here a few times. He was trying to talk me into buying this house. He's like, "Listen, it's a great neighborhood. You know, it's got a decent sized yard and it's a decent sized house, and the taxes are only $16,000 a year." And I'm thinking, yeah, don't think that's me. And anyways, I'll be honest with you. Over out east was a different philosophy at work. Here's the thing is, you couldn't talk about church or God at work. Never forget, I'd been at the ambulance company for a short amount of time, one of my coworkers had been witnessed to by someone on the ambulance. They were a patient, and they gave one of my coworkers a track. And that coworker came in, did the paperwork on the table, left a track on the table, and another person that was an avowed atheist saw the track, assumed it was me, took the track, turned it into my boss, and basically was demanding that I be fired. And by company policy, I could have been. And if it weren't for the fact that that coworker came forward and said, "Let me tell you where that track really came from," I could have. Here's the thing is that I remember telling, it was one Christmas, I was working multiple jobs trying to make enough to survive, and I was working on Saturdays on a on the Children's Hospital of Philly. I was a construction site EMT, and in downtown Philadelphia, and crazy scenario, but it made some money. And so I'll never forget one time I told Stephanie, just jump on the subway, meet me in Philadelphia, and we'll go to the Macy's light show. Here's the thing, is the Macy's light show didn't have the manger, didn't represent God. At the very end, they're like, and the star of Christmas is, and we're like, and they said Rudolph. But here's the thing, is that when Stephanie was going through the subways, she wanted to make sure there was this underground mall that went from one subway to the other, and she wanted to make sure that she was on the right track. So she stopped and asked a police officer. The police officer told her, listen, do not stop for anything. Even if you get lost, just start walking and keep going. You're in the underbelly of Philadelphia. Just walk and keep going. Don't stop. Don't look like a tourist. Don't do anything. Here's the thing is that we had just moved over here, and we'd been here a short amount of time. We decided to go back to get one more load of stuff. I'll never forget this. And we went back, and it was late at night. It was a Sunday night. We'd gone to church back at our old home church, and we decided to stop by a Walmart that we'd stopped by before. Now, here's the thing is, around here, you make eye contact with somebody, just, hey, you know, or do something like that. Here's the thing is, in New Jersey, you don't. I'll never forget, we'd only been here a few months, but we'd just kind of settled in. It just felt like home, and we fit in. And here's the thing is that we went back. And I'll never forget, I was just running in to get something real quick. It was like 9:30 at night. I walked into Walmart and I kind of made eye contact with somebody and go, hey. And he was ready to fight. I mean, he was offended that I did that. I mean, here's the thing is, I had to talk like a Dutch uncle just to get out of fighting this guy. And I would have won, by the way. Not just joking. But anyways, I lived in Philly 2 years, you know. I was ready for anything. But here's the thing is that, listen, we didn't fit in. And I'll be honest with you that, you know, the thing about it is God used it for a great training ground. But, you know, this is what I believe the Bible is talking about. They are not fit for the kingdom of God. The Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looketh back is fit for the kingdom of God. Or basically what the Bible is talking about is a misfit. Someone who does not fit in. Title of my sermon tonight is How Not to Be a Misfit in the kingdom of God. How not to be a misfit in the kingdom of God. See, the thing about it is there are folks in churches across America that do not fit in to the kingdom of God. There are some folks that come to church and don't feel comfortable during a song service, or even sometimes during the preaching. They don't fit in. I'll never forget, we were a youth pastor up in Michigan, and I was taking a group of young people, these were church kids, and these weren't bus kids, these were church kids, and we took a group of young people from Michigan all the way to the First Baptist Church of Hammond in Indiana, and I'll never forget, here's the thing is, I love preaching, why? I fit in with it. And the thing about it is I love good old music. And here's the thing is, while we were traveling, I had it all planned out. I tell you what, one of my preachers that I love listening to and have for a long time is Pastor Randy Dignan. And just because he gets excited about being saved and he gets to rip snorting when he preaches. And here's the thing is, I had it all lined up. I was gonna listen to him, and I was gonna have some exciting, great songs. So we popped in the first tape and the sermon got done. And I popped in the next tape, and you can tell how long it's been ago because it's tape. It wasn't CDs. But we were listening to this good old hymns, and I was enjoying myself. And you know what? The first song tape goes on, and I pop back in Randy Dignan's preaching tape, one that he was just excited about being saved. And all of a sudden, I got whining. We got to listen to him. We got to listen to the yelling preacher again. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, maybe one was enough, you know, so I pop back in the mute. They're like, and they start whining and complaining. And I'll be honest with you, I remember first my blood was boiling. Next, I thought, you know what? There's something seriously wrong spiritually when a group of young people do not fit in with godly preaching and with godly music. And here's the thing is I remember my prayer from that moment on, and this group of teenagers probably gave me more hassle than any other group of teenagers that in any other youth group combined. But the thing about it is I remember thinking, they don't fit in with this crowd, and that's concerning. And I was, my prayer the whole week is that God would get a hold of their heart so they would fit into the kingdom of God. Here's the thing is, I know that there's some people that don't feel at ease reading the Bible. It's uncomfortable for them. They feel like they feel fine when they read the newspaper or watching TV, but they're misfits in the Bible. Who are these misfits? The Bible says those that put their hand to the plow and look back. In other words, when you get saved, don't look back. If God calls you to preach, don't look back. If you look back, you want to go back. I remember talking to Mr. Mays. He was one of the adults of one of the teenagers in my youth group in Michigan. He said, listen, he said, God has called me to preach. But he said, I started looking back at the world, and I started looking back at all that the world had to offer. And he said, now I let alcohol ruin my life. I let alcohol ruin my marriage. And he says, now I'm right with God. And you know what? Now I'm trying to allow God to pick up the pieces. But he said, listen, I looked back and I paid the price. Here's the thing is that when a teenager becomes a man, gets a job or goes to college, if he or she looks back, they will not fit in. They will be misfits. Because that young person cannot look back to all the free time that they once had. They have to look forward. The Bible says, any man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. You can't look back at the free room and board you once had. You look back at all the parties and events that came with high school. Here's the thing is that, you are now into a group of adults where the thing about it is you know what? A point in time and life has changed, and you can't look back. Fit means to be adapted. Wait until you've adapted. Wait until you've plowed a while. When you first put your hand to the plow, don't look back, because you will leave that plow. The plow cannot compare to the fires at home. The plow cannot compare with the meals on the table. See, the thing about it is you know what? There's a certain level of dedication that it takes to put the hand to the plow and keep it there. The thing about it is you can't look back. When you first put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Most people that cause trouble in churches are people that are looking back. They are looking back at what they once had. They're looking back at the world. Now, here's the thing is the Bible says, remember Lot's wife. What did Lot's wife do? I can't speak. What did Lot's wife do? She looked back. She looked at the old Sodom and Gomorrah. She looked back at what she was comfortable with. Here's the thing is, God had moved her. God had said, hey, listen, I don't want you to be there anymore. He says, I've got different plans for you. I've got a different purpose for you. But what did she do? She looked back, and God turned her a new pillar of salt. The thing about it is don't look back. They don't fit in with what's going on. They're not involved with what's happening. They don't fit in, and so they oppose the purpose of the local church because they are misfits. Why would an individual oppose soul winning? They're a misfit. Why would a person oppose an outreach ministry? They are a misfit. Why would people oppose or boycott a big day? They're a misfit. Why would somebody oppose or boycott a revival service? Because they're a misfit. Here's the thing is, don't be caught up into the fact that we're a misfit in the kingdom of God. Remember, it doesn't say that they're not saved. It just says they're a misfit or they're out of place in the kingdom of God. We need to get back to letting the Word of God tell us where our place is in the kingdom of God. See, the thing about it is somebody that fits in as somebody that decided to revolve their life around this book right here. Somebody that fits in as somebody that it revolves their life around this place right here. And, I was just on Google the other, just a little bit ago, and I walked in the front doors, and it beeped, and I'm like, they're like, are you at Calvary Baptist Church? I'm like, well, yes, I am. And they tell me how many times I was at Calvary Baptist Church. I'm like, cool. And but here's the thing is, why? Because you know what? That means that most likely, if I revolve my life around this place right here, I'm not going to be a misfit. And here's the thing is, fit means to be adapted. Fit means to be adapted. And so here's the thing is, we tell our young people to seek the will of God. Why don't we seek the will of God? Because if we did, then we wouldn't be a misfit. There are some people that don't fit in God's work because they're too busy looking back. They're too busy looking at the world. They're too busy enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. See, the thing about it is that the Bible says that no man can serve two masters. Either he will serve the one, and here's the thing is God says basically, listen, you can't straddle the fence. Either you're a misfit on one place or you're a misfit in the other place. And the thing about it is listen, I'd rather be a misfit in the world than a misfit here at Calvary Baptist Church. I'd rather be a misfit when somebody else is telling dirty jokes than a misfit when the preaching in the Word of God is in. I'd rather be a misfit when the world is playing their music that resembles the old times of the world and the sin that's involved than a misfit on when the old song, the hymns of the faith are being sung. See, the thing about it is we're a misfit one of two places. One of the most miserable things that we can do is try and fit in both places, because then what happens is we're a misfit two places. Here's the thing is, I fit in here at Calvary Baptist Church. I'll be honest with you, I love walking through the front doors on a Sunday morning, because there's a few guys that, you know what, we joke around together and we have a lot of fun. And here's the thing is, you know what, this is a place where basically my second family is. I love getting on the platform and sitting next to Pastor and Aaron and see the dirty looks that Pastor gives Aaron when he cuts up, and we have a lot of fun. I love being a part of a choir and trying to give Lillian more gray hair and have her just shake her head at me. And here's the thing is why we fit in. I love being a part of our young adult Sunday school class and going activities with them. Why? Because we fit in. We have something in common. We're all of one accord, like the Bible says. Why? We fit in. Here's the thing is why do we try and make things comfortable for the visitors? Because if they are uncomfortable or they're a misfit, then most likely they won't be back. It's our job to make them comfortable. I was giving Aaron a hard time at the VBS cookout, and I was teasing him about abandoning his job at the inflatable. But the thing about it is that he was actually doing what he should have been doing. He was trying to help some people to fit in. He was talking to some folks that he knew, and here's the thing is, why do we have ushers? Hopefully, it's to help people fit in. If someone leaves a misfit, most likely they'll never come back. And here's the thing is, we ought to decide that we as Calvary Baptist Church, let me back up. We don't want to try and make them comfortable by bringing the world in. Because what'll happen is then we will become misfits in the kingdom of God. So what we did here, and here's the thing is, there was a big fad about 20, 30 years ago about how we're going to take, there was a coffee shop ministry. There was all these other ministries where basically what it is they look like the world and talk like the world to a point, but then all of a sudden they were supposed to be the transition stage. And what happened is their church ended up going the way of the world. And so, but that's not what I'm talking about. But the thing about it is we ought to determine as Calvary Baptist Church how we can learn how to try and make people fit in at Calvary Baptist Church. For instance, I was really proud of my parents. They took one of the visitors that we had invited to church and sat next to him. And here's the thing is, many of you shook his hand and made him feel welcome and talked to him. The thing about it is, you know what? There are times where we've got to try and help people fit in. And back to Google. You know, the thing about it is sometimes we can do things when it comes down to visitors. We need to do all that we can to try and make people feel welcome. I remember looking up when we were visiting out of town one time. We were trying to find a good Baptist church, and there was one church that it seemed like all the members logged on to Google and posted good reviews. There was pictures, there was reviews, they were talking about the preaching, they were talking about the singing, and I tell you what, I wanted to go just because, man, if that church is that excited, you know, where, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I bet you the Lord's meeting there. But here's the thing is that we ought to try and find ways. God's been really good here at Calvary Baptist Church. There's been a steady flow of visitors, but the thing about it is what are we doing about them? What are we doing about them? Are we making sure that they get a visitor card? Are they making sure they get a smile and a handshake? Are they, you know, my in-laws were really good at this. They would watch. And here's the thing is, they weren't leaders of the church, so to speak, but they would watch. And here's the thing is, if somebody came to the service more than a couple times, you know what they do? They either invite them out to eat or they'd invite them over to their house. And I tell you what, they were effective in bringing a lot of the visitors in and mentoring them. And the thing about it is they helped them fit in. And so here's the thing is, we shouldn't compromise. But listen, when it comes down to it, we need to make sure that we not put our hand to the plow and look back. We shouldn't. Here's the thing is, in marriage, you can't look back. You will be a misfit. There are things that if we look back, then we'll get ourselves in trouble. If you look back to your single life and you want the free time, you'll get yourself in trouble. See, the thing about it is don't look back at those single friends and want the freedom that you had. Here's the thing is, you know what? I'll be honest with you. One of the things that I look forward to the most is my 20-year anniversary. Because I was 20 years old when I got married. And, the thing about it is that was one of the best things that ever happened in my life. And I'm looking forward to the day where I can look back and say, I've been married longer, just as long or longer as I've been single. And the thing about it is you know what the cool part about it is after, we're coming up on 17 years and, 20 is just right around the corner. We're looking up on 17 years and the cool part about it is, you know what? I can look back and I can honestly say, you know what? I don't even want to remember what it's like being single. You know what? I remember what it's like to be married. And here's the thing is, there are times where you disagree and you have to work out your differences. But at the same point in time, you look back at all the good times and all throughout the years and you say, you know what? I tell you what, I put my hand to the plow. I didn't look back. And I'll be honest with you, I reap blessings because of it. And you know what? The thing about it is that the Christian life is the same way. You know what? When somebody initially gets saved, you listen, encourage them. Don't look back. Don't look back. Wait till you've been plowing a while. Wait till you've been faithful throughout the years and you can see the hand of God's blessing. When you can say, you know what? God's done this and God's done that and God's done this, and you can look back to the blessings, not looking back to the old life. And so here's the thing is that we get ourselves in trouble and, our best friends ought to be our spouse and we should spend a majority of our time together. Now, the thing about it is I'll be honest with you. When it comes down to my wife, there's no one else in the world I'd rather spend time with. My wife is my best friend. My wife is my confidant. My wife is, when it comes down to it, when I need encouragement, I go to my wife. When I need just about anything, help working in the ministry, I go to my wife. And the thing about it is you know what? When I take and I look back at my single life and I try and do what I was taught as a single person, the thing about it is I get in trouble. I start looking back. And the thing about it is when we look back after putting our hand to the plow, it's too easy to walk away from that plow. But the thing about it is that, you know what? There's something wrong with a married person that spends a bunch of time with a bunch of single friends. Or wants to spend a bunch of time with a bunch of single friends. They're going to look back and they will be a misfit in their marriage. The first part of anything is the easiest time to turn back because that's when we first look back. Here's the thing is most missionaries leave the field within the first few years. Why? They're looking back. Many people look back because they are not plowing. Start pushing the plow. Get busy for God. Do something for God. Start pushing the plow. Teach a Sunday school class. Help the bus route. Join the choir. Be a blessing. Jump into a ministry. Start pushing the plow and don't look back. The thing about it is if you're a misfit tonight, I can't tell you if you're a misfit, but the thing about it is if you feel like you're not fitting in here at Calvary Baptist Church, the thing about it is start pushing the plow. Start getting involved. I'll be honest with you. One of the things that draws Aaron and I together is the fact that we push the plow together. The thing about it is you want friends here at Calvary Baptist Church. You want to fit into the kingdom of God, then tell you what, start pushing the plow. See, the thing about it is too many times Christians walk in, sit in a pew, sit through a service. They don't say hi to anybody. They don't do anything. And then they get up and they walk out when the service is done. And they say, you know what? I don't fit in here. I'll be honest with you, you're not going to, because the kingdom of God is not just a service of sitting. The kingdom of God is a service of, is a time of service. And the thing about it is if you want to fit in, start pushing the plow. Don't look back or you will be a misfit. There are some people that can't wait to get to church, and there are some folks that can't wait to get away from church. And you know who they are. It's like the moment that the preacher says amen, they're bolting for the back door. And here's the thing, is I normally say that it was while they're getting hungry. Thing about it is you can't be that hungry. And but anyways, the thing about it is that, listen, what's the difference? Those that can't wait to leave are a misfit. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible, I've got to hurry to try and get through the sermon. But anyways, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 14 through 16. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 14 through 16. The Bible says this: "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if it had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he is prepared for them a city." And so here's the thing, is here you have a group of people, two groups of people. One is mindful of the old country. And here's the thing, is they're so mindful, they have plans to return. I'll be honest with you, in New Jersey, you know what? I was praying that God would give me an opportunity to return to a normal area. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I was ecstatic the fact that God brought us to Ohio. Why? Because you know what? Besides some of the people in the church, it felt normal. And just joking around. But the thing about it is that, listen, you know, then you have a group of people that they got their eyes on a better country, the Bible says, that is heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he that prepared them a city. Hey, listen, are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Are we ashamed to call God our God? And the thing about it is you know, listen, folks, why do we not condone rock music with good words? Because it gets us mindful of the old country. Why do we not have robes in the choir? Because we don't want the former Catholics to be mindful of the old country. Why do the preachers wear a suit instead of a dress? Because I don't want to dress like a woman. And the thing about it is, I don't want to be called father and dress like mother. And the thing about it is that, listen, why should we do anything that makes us mindful of the old country? Why? I don't want to look back. I don't want to be a misfit in the kingdom of God. Here's the thing, is I'd rather be a good fit in this kingdom than a kingdom out there. See, the Bible says that the devil is the prince and power of the air. I don't want to fit into his kingdom. His kingdom is going to crumble. His kingdom is going to fall. Hey, listen, the kingdom that's going to rise and be victorious is the kingdom of God. I tell you what, you read the back of the book, and hey, the kingdom of God is the one that's going to succeed. Hey, one day, Satan is on, and all his demons are going to be cast into hell, and one day, those that followed him are going to pay the price, but you know what? One day, those of us that are called by God's name, that have done his work, and have been fit into the kingdom of God, one day, we're going to reap the benefits of being called the children of God. Hey, one day we're going to have crowns to cast at Jesus' feet. One day we're going to walk on streets of gold. Now, the thing about it is, listen, guys, I would rather remember Calvary than remember the king and remember the kingdom of heaven than remember the old country. See, here's the thing, is there are some people that attend church, but they're so close to selling out to God. They're so close to pushing the plow. Don't look back. See, the thing about it is churches all across America are filled with people so close to fitting in. They attend services faithfully every Sunday morning. They go, and some of them might even say amen. Some of them might even be used to the Sunday morning sermons. Some of them might even start getting used to the hymns of the faith. But the thing about it is they haven't quite decided to fit in. They haven't quite decided. They put their hand to the plow, but they haven't started pushing it yet. The thing about it is you know what? Let me encourage you tonight. If you're not pushing the plow, start pushing the plow. Looking back just gives us heartache and misery. Looking back gets us nowhere. You know, the thing about it is when I'm mowing the grass, if I look back and get distracted, you know what happens? The row kind of looks like this. You ever wonder if I'm distracted while I'm mowing the grass? Look and see if the lines are straight or if they're crooked. Same is true with our life. I tell you what, do you want to start plowing a straight row? Look forward and not back. You know, the thing about it is looking back just makes us a misfit. Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus. Here's the thing is, you know what? Calvary ought to be our marching orders. Calvary ought to be the one that we're looking forward to. Hey, you know what? Let's find our place and fit in with the one that was willing to die for us. Let's not be a misfit in the kingdom of God. Because to be a misfit in the kingdom of God means that we're fitting in with the world, the flesh, and the devil. The ones that have vowed to destroy our lives. Where do you want to fit in tonight? The kingdom of God or the world? Here's the thing is, listen, when it comes down to it, am I fitting in to Bible reading? Am I fitting into prayer? Am I fitting into soul winning? See, the thing about it is if we're not comfortable, if we're not fitting in, chances are it's just because we haven't rolled up our sleeves and done it. Chances are we're still looking back at the world with that longing gaze. The thing about it is you know what? Tonight we need to determine, I'm going to fit in with this kingdom. I'm going to fit in with the one that loved me so much that he was willing to go to a cross for me. So the thing about it is I don't deserve to fit in with one like that. But the thing about it is you know what? God in his love said, if you want to fit in, come to the Father. Question is who are we going to fit in with tonight? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, talk about a challenging sermon tonight. Who do we fit in with? Heavenly Father, unfortunately, all across America, there's Christians that just don't fit in with the kingdom of God. They're kind of casually observers. Heavenly Father, some of them put their hand to the plow and they're too busy looking back to actually push the plow. Some people push the plow and they plow such crooked lines because they're looking all around. They don't have their eyes on Calvary. Heavenly Father, I pray that you help each and every one of us tonight to determine we're going to fit into the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, it has nothing to do with salvation. And although I do believe that when it comes down to it, we need to be saved to fit into the kingdom of God. But dear Heavenly Father, there's so many of us that don't fit in that are saved. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us tonight to decide we're going to sell out for you.